course, yesterday was the Prime Minister's last day in the House of Commons. He got a standing ovation, didn't he, from his own party. The Labour front bench, they didn't stand up to applaud. The SNP MPs, they didn't clap at all. Was that disrespectful? Well, the Westminster Watchers, Kevin McGuire and Andrew Pearce with us this morning. His last day, Kevin, should they not all have stood up, or would that have been hypocritical?
I think it would have been hypocritical. I noticed most of the Labour MPs did applaud, including Jeremy Corbyn and John McDonnell. But interestingly, not Owen Smith, who's challenging them for the leadership. And it was kind of, you know, your boss is going. You might not particularly like your boss at work, but you've got along, you've had the glass of wine, the vol-au-vent, and you give them a polite send-off. With the SNP, they feel it a lot stronger, of course, because they lost that referendum. They voted to stay in Europe, and by mistake, David Cameron lost Europe. So I understand why they didn't move their hands.
Let's have a listen to what David Cameron's final words were to the House of Commons.
I will miss the roar of the crowd. I will miss the barbs from the opposition. But I will be willing you on. And when I say willing you on, I don't just mean willing on the new Prime Minister at this dispatch box, or indeed just willing on the front bench defending the manifesto that I helped to put together. But I mean willing all of you on, because people come here with huge passion for the issues they care about. They come here with great love for the constituencies that they represent. And also willing on this place, because yes, we can be pretty tough and test and challenge our leaders, perhaps more than some other countries, but that is something we should be proud of. And we should keep at it. And I hope you will all keep at it, and I will will you on as you do. The last thing I'd say is that you can achieve a lot of things in politics. You can get a lot of things done. And that, in the end, the public service, the national interest, that is what it's all about. Nothing is really impossible if you put your mind to it. After all, as I once said, I was the future once.
He'd have been remembered, though, Andrew Pearce, for the man who lost the referendum.
That will be his legacy. He wanted another 8 weeks in office, of course, to try and sort out a few more things which would contribute to his legacy. But that will be his entire political epitaph, will be the man who gambled on the European Union referendum to thwart the threats from UKIP. He never ever thought he'd have to deliver the referendum because he assumed it would be another hung parliament in the last general election. And the Liberal Democrats would never have allowed the referendum. He gambled, he lost, and we thought, actually, that this would be the first Prime Minister to leave office at a time of his own choosing, the first Prime Minister for 40 years to do that. But yet again, another political career has ended in tears.
Should everyone have stood in the House of Commons, Andrew?
I don't think so. You know, it's a new convention. When Margaret Thatcher made that dramatic "I'm enjoying this speech" in her farewell in the House of Commons, nobody stood up and clapped at all. It was David Cameron who changed things when he led the standing ovation for Tony Blair last time round. As Kevin McGuire said, for once I'm agreeing with him. Why should people who spent years opposing the Prime Minister, not agreeing with anything he did, why should they stand up and cheer and clap him? It's just not appropriate. What I thought was quite funny was to see the Speaker, John Bercow, reaching out to extend the hand of friendship to the Prime Minister. They can't bear each other. They absolutely loathe each other. And both of them will be glad to see the back of each other.
What about Boris Kevin McGuire? Masterstroke or disaster?
Oh, God. Oh, it could be inspiring. I fear it's the worst appointment since David Moyes followed Alex Ferguson at Manchester United. There are more diplomatic skills in a doornail than Boris Johnson. He's insulted most of the world over the past years. Hillary Clinton's likely to be the next president of the United States. He described her as a sadistic nurse in a mental hospital. His insulting comments about black people, watermelon smiles, and he should never be forgotten. You might think it was funny to claim some people in the Pacific are cannibals, but the people who live in the Pacific don't find that so funny. So no, he's stood on the steps of Downing Street and made a very serious speech you couldn't really question a word about, talking about not having any privilege and so on. And then she goes in for the first big appointment as the Eldersonian Bullingdon boy, who is a walking disaster zone. I think she'll come to regret it. We may find it funny at times, but Boris Johnson is Britain's face to the rest of the world. Oh, dear, what a risk.
Do you agree, Andrew?
No, I think he's fantastic. He was a brilliant mayor of London. He defied political gravity to win London, not once but twice. He represented London admirably on the world stage. Yes, he was a court jester and a joker, but now he's foreign secretary. He'll have to be more serious, and I think he will be. And don't forget, three Tory foreign secretaries since the war, Eden, McMillan and John Major, went on to become prime minister. He knows he's back in the game. 13 days ago, he was politically dead in the water. But like Lazarus, he's had a political comeback, and he knows if he makes a great fist of being foreign secretary, he could well be the successor to Theresa May. And looking at the mess of the Labour Party, the Conservatives could be in power for a very, very long time. So we could still see Boris Johnson as Conservative Party leader.